then allege that by presenting, you know, both sides of an issue, it's been covered adequately. That doesn't really do. That doesn't really fit when you're talking about science.
Exactly. This is another reform solution that we can look at, is trying to do something about the way that journalists abuse the concept of balance in order to create a sense of false objectivity, which actually, in some cases, aids and abets the strategies of the people who are misusing science in the first place and who want 50-50 coverage for what is really an outlier or fringe claim. And so, for example, you know, pairing up evolution versus intelligent design in a 50-50 way is really distorting the state of scientific understanding when there's really virtually no papers published in support of intelligent design in the scientific literature, which is where scientific debates are properly adjudicated in the first place. So journalists need to not fall for these ploys, and they need to describe accurately what the scientific stand of something like intelligent design is, which is that it isn't science at all. It's religion.
We've been speaking with Chris Mooney about his book, The Republican War on Science. Chris, thank you so much for speaking with us, and good luck on the book tour. This is a good book.
Yes, I really appreciate your interest. You're doing a great job. Thanks for having me.
That is it for today's program. This program was produced, as are all of them, by Mr. Edward McMillan. This has been Radio Parallax, and I've been your host, Douglas Everett. We'll see you next Thursday at 5.
And Radio Parallax has been made possible by KZFR members and by MCM Vintage and Wax Records, Chico's only mid-century modern antique mall. MCM Vintage features genuine vintage furnishings, decor, lighting, antiques, art, fashion, collectibles, vinyl, CDs, and more. Also music memorabilia at 260 East 1st Street in downtown Chico. For more information, call 899-8443 or visit them on Facebook, MCM Vintage, and by Peter Tichinen in association with Baywood Real Estate, a local real estate firm established in 1962. Peter Tichinen and Baywood Real Estate are happy to support community radio and can be reached by calling 680-1900 and at chicohomes.com. Stay tuned for The Doctor's Inn.
I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, son, you look older than me, and I'm 71. You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle, yeah, and you're losing the fight. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better.
Good afternoon. This is Ken Logan and The Doctor's Inn. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico, and I have this show once a month, The Doctor's Inn, to discuss pertinent health and medical information and subjects with you, the listeners. By the way, if there are any subjects that you would like me to cover on the show, you could let me know by my email address, klogan.md@yahoo.com. And you should know that the opinions voiced on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And speaking of underwriters, The Doctor's Inn is made possible by you, the listeners, with your generous contributions to KZFR, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner of the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events, including Artoberfest, Chico Paleo, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. and by the ARC stores in Chico, Oroville, and Paradise, putting your green philosophy towards a worthy cause. The ARC stores offer gently used clothing, furniture, antiques, collectibles, and more. All proceeds support local people and families with developmental disabilities. Open 7 days a week at 2020 Park Avenue in Chico, 2745 Oro Dam Boulevard in Oroville, and in Paradise at 6640 Clark Road. More information at thearcstore.org. Well, welcome to the Doctor's Inn today. And today we have with us a community member, a socially conscious, active in social issues in our community, a great lady. I've known her for a few years now, Norma Wilcox. Hello, Norma.
Hi.
Norma is the president of a grassroots organization here in our area called Butte County Healthcare Coalition. She's also the co-chair of the Legislative Committee for Healthcare for All California. This is a lady with a lot of information and a lot of passion on this subject of healthcare availability for all people. Norma, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Sure. Norma's going to update us and give us information about current legislation that's passing through the legislature, currently being discussed, et cetera, and already enacted some of it, to update us and give us information. And these are healthcare-related issues, legislative issues. Norma, tell us about it. Inform us.
I will. I'll tell you, the first one I'm going to talk about, I am so excited about. And I'm going to give you the bill number. It's SB 75. And the title is Full Scope Medi-Cal for All Children, sponsored by Senator Ricardo Lara. And what that does is it allows every single California child who is eligible for Medi-Cal, regardless of their documentation of their status, then they are eligible. And that went into effect just this week, this Monday. So this is brand new. And what we had before were children who were not documented could get just emergency care. And that was called limited scope Medi-Cal. But now, as of Monday, they can get full scope, which means medical, mental health, vision, and dental. And so we are going to have some healthy children, and that's so exciting.
Yeah, and that, and I'm hearing that, and I'm saying, you know, here I am, I'm a family practice doctor, so of course I see, in family practice, I see people of all ages, children to elderly. And to hear you say that now Medi-Cal coverage available to all children who are economically qualify economically for Medi-Cal, regardless of their immigration status. And I'm going, you mean we didn't used to? Oh my God! So what would we do? Just let the kids be ill and not help them stay healthy? We wait till they become tragically ill, and then they get emergency Medi-Cal in the emergency room. But other than that, we can't help them stay healthy in our state. And so I'm saying, great that this bill is now enacted, and as of the 16th of this month, enacted. Excellent.
You know, I was recently in Sacramento for the Sunday and Monday for Lobby Day. And the Sunday was a lot of information.
Now, what's Lobby Day mean?
Well, Lobby Day is a day where it's mainly healthcare students who are in a variety of healthcare fields come together, and they are bussed up from all over the state, and so they're learning about legislation that has to do with the medical field. And then they learned how to go and talk to a senator and an assembly person. The next day, they march from the hotel to the Capitol, and they have a press conference where different legislators speak, and then they go in to a senator's office, usually in small groups, and talk usually to an aide. And most senators and assembly people, they have an aide who specializes in medical. So they usually have somebody who really understands. So we did that.
Just curious, while we're on that subject, if you don't mind, how often does the lobby day happen?
It's once a year.
Once a year, and is this organized by Healthcare for All, or?
Well, that's one group, but the Physicians for National Health Policy is one group. That's a main sponsor and organizer. And then there is an organization called CAPSA, which is an organization of medical students. And they really worked hard. They really did a lot of organizing. So they're really learning some good organizing skills.
It's a good feeling. This gives me a good feeling to hear medical students learning about what they can do relative to empowering care for their patients, all their patients. In other words, health care for all people.
Yes.
Great. As medical students, before they get out into their work as a doctor. Great. Give me an estimate of how many students you think were at the lobby day.
I would say probably 200-250.
Great.
And during the press conference, some of the students told stories of their own experience of being undocumented.
Oh.
And one of them, I remember saying, she all of a sudden had this really strong abdominal pain and went to the emergency room. And she, of course, didn't have any insurance because she didn't have any documentation. And so she was diagnosed, or she was looked at, but then not treated.
Hmm.
And so she left, and then she had this huge emergency room bill. And then she didn't have any money to go to a doctor to get treated. So, you know, this will really change it for that particular age group.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Tell us.
Okay. And in this age group, I want to give you some numbers because it's really quite impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, there's 121,000 children, 0 to 19 years old, who are already on limited Medi-Cal. And they will just automatically be put into full scope. And it's estimated that there will be about 250,000 that will be eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expected that probably 185,000 children will sign up in this first year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the total number. So we're going to have some healthier children, and that's just really, really exciting.
And when we're talking about children, that means helping them stay healthy, including immunizations and well child care, et cetera, things that were not available to them before.
Yes, good preventive care.
Preventive care, excellent. Makes sense.
It does. And, you know, we are finally doing it.
Great. Okay. What else you got, or do we have?
Oh.
This is a we.
Yes.
Our state legislature.
Well, the next one is SB 10. It's about immigration, and it's providing all Californians access to covered California, and this is also by Senator Ricardo Lara. And what this does is it requires the state to request a waiver. It's number 1332. To the federal government through the Affordable Care Act. And currently, with the Affordable Care Act, a person who is undocumented is not allowed to use the California Exchange. But what this would do, it would allow a person who is undocumented to pay for their own. So there wouldn't be any subsidized health care, But for those who could afford it, they could use the exchange. And how that's helpful is right now they can purchase an insurance policy on the open market as an individual. And that's the highest cost. And so maybe a person couldn't afford the individual insurance cost, but they could afford it through the exchange. And so now, the way it is if they they don't have insurance because they can't afford it, and so they have a medical emergency, and they go into the emergency room, which is the most costly, of course, and the state will then have to pay for that. But if they can use the exchange, it may be affordable for them, then they can have the insurance, and then the insurance pays, and the state will actually save money.
It makes sense, too. And again, the exchange is healthcare policies available via and presented in via the Affordable Care Act that are lower premiums, essentially, policies that are more affordable to people with low income. Excellent. So they would have that care available to them, and that could include some preventative care as well.
Yes.
Besides emergency care, instead of leading them to bankruptcy and then the state of California picking up their bill from the emergency room or their surgery or whatever it was. So this makes sense, too.
And you know, another thing is, you know, using the exchange with all family members, they maybe could have one provider who would really get to know the family.
Yeah.
So that would be very helpful. And where this is legislatively mm-hmm. is that as of yesterday, it went into the Appropriation Committee, and they're the ones that look at the costs and, mm-hmm. and how much is it going to cost. And, of course, it's not going to cost the state anything. So that was in the Appropriations Committee, and it passed. This was yesterday.
Oh, yesterday, uh-huh.
Yes, and it passed, and our assembly person, James Gallagher, voted mm-hmm. no on that. So he was not supporting it. But
wonder what his reason for that was.
Well, that's something.
See, it's not going to cost the state anything. And it's going to help these people who are here be healthier via their own buying, purchasing of health insurance. Gosh, I wonder what went through his mind on that vote of no.
Well, I don't know, but you know the next step is that it goes to the floor mm-hmm. of the assembly, and so he will be voting again.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can call his office, and they can say that they want this bill supported. And how they can do that, they can call.
And again, just hang on, just a quick sec. Again, this is SB 10.
Yes, SB 10.
All right, Senate Bill 10, SB 10, okay.
Yeah, and then I think the important thing is when you make a phone call is to know the number, SB 10, and also the author, and that is Senator Ricardo Lara.
And Lara is L-A-R-A.
Yes.
From Bell Gardens.
Yes.
Okay.
And the name is Providing All Californians Access to Covered California, which is kind of long, and a lot of people probably aren't going to remember that. But if they remember the number and the author's name, that's what's most important.
SB 10, and it's Senator Lara, L-A-R-A, Senator Lara.
Yes.
And in phone number for them to contact, for our listener to contact Assemblyman Gallagher.
That would be 916-319-2003. And I'm going to repeat that. 916-319-2003.
I'm just curious, is Assemblyman Gallagher up for re-election?
Yes, he is.
Who's running against him? Do you know?
Ed Ritchie.
All right. Just asking. Just saying. All right. Okay. Excellent.
So the next one.
All righty.
Is SB 1418. expanding full-scope Medi-Cal to undocumented adults. Now, originally, with the bill, it really was SB 10, it included children and adults. But as the bill progressed, what it ended up with is just for children. And so then another separate bill.
You mean SB 75?
Well, originally it was 10, and then it changed to 75.
And oh, I see you're saying.
These bills do change their numbers.
All right.
Yes. So with SB 1418, this would allow all adults who are Medi-Cal eligible to access Medi-Cal. And so what that does is these are people who are part of our community. You know, they're serving us food and they're working in the fields and they're growing our food and they're taking care of our children and they're making our beds when we're at a hotel. And many have lived here for years and years and years. And it would allow them to be healthy. And that's what that would allow.
Mm-hmm. So, and where's the action on that currently?
That is just a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So there really hasn't been any action on that.
And then I see on that, if state allocations are made for that. You know, just to let the listeners know, as a physician where I work, when I see a patient on emergency, an adult patient on emergency Medi-Cal as their healthcare coverage, it is very frustrating relative to trying to, in my attempts to help the patient. I mean, we identify medical conditions that are beyond what they can afford to treatment, be it medications or other kind of treatments. And it's just the wrong approach. It's a Band-Aid approach. It's not really taking care of the patient adequately. So anyway, emergency Medi-Cal has some benefits, but my gosh, it's very frustrating. It doesn't make sense as a, there is no physician, I suspect, who would think that, oh, we only want to pay for people when they hit the emergency room or we want to help them stay healthy in all of their health issues, not just emergency Medi-Cal. So this makes good sense. Good monetary sense down the line. If we can decrease emergency visits and hospitalizations, help keep people healthy, that's a humane thing, a wise thing. And so I like the sound of that bill, too. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know,
just letting you know.
Actually, you know, that bill would be helpful. But you know what would be really so easy for everybody? You know,
Are you gonna think logically here now?
I'm gonna think logically.
Okay, I would like to hear a logical opinion. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. If everybody in the state or everybody in the country could have the same card, the same insurance card, the same standard of care, the same high quality comprehensive care, we would have a really healthy country. And you know what? We would then be like most all other countries that are industrialized, where all of their citizens, I mean all, A-L-L, all of their citizens have health care.
A government-managed health care for all system, like a improved Medicare for all system. Gosh, it would make monetary sense. It would make humane and ethical and moral sense. It would be a great thing for we healthcare providers to see when we help are trying to help our patients. It would be a win-win, except for the insurance industry, the for-profit insurance industry, who are making money on not supplying healthcare.
Yes,
taking premium money and not supplying healthcare. Okay, what other? Well, I was going to say, we digress, but that's not really a digression.
No.
That's an important issue.
You know, actually, that kind of flows into the next one.
Okay.
And that is that, you know, people who have different languages, they have different cultural backgrounds, it's really hard to find enough providers, number one,
mm-hmm.
Who speak English. But, you know, it certainly is difficult to find enough providers who can speak their language and who can understand their cultural background. And so we have, you know, so many really bright, bright, talented young people who really want to go into the medical fields, but they can't afford it. So SB 1139, again, by Senator Ricardo Lara. He is quite busy writing his legislation, has written up called the Medical Dreamer Opportunity Act. And what that does is, right now, when you renew your MD license, a certain amount of money goes into a fund that can be used for grants or loans. And whenever I renew my registered nurse's license, some of that money goes into a fund. And so, and there are other groups, you know, there's mental health workers, but all licensed medical providers have a portion of that going into a fund that can be for loans and for grants and scholarships. And so that's available to every student who is in the healthcare field who are documented. But if you're not documented, then you're not eligible. So what this would do is that it would allow a person, a student, to apply for these loans and grants and scholarships and receive them for their medical education. And it would be for physicians and even into their residency program.
Regardless of immigration status.
Regardless of immigration status. And since, you know, our money from our our license renewals goes into the fund, I mean, the money's already there.
Mm-hmm.
So what it would do, it would open up, and we could have more people from different language skills and different cultural knowledge, and it would just make healthcare, you know, just so much richer.
Mm-hmm. And where is that one in the process in the legislature?
That is currently in the Senate Appropriations Committee. So the next step would be going to the Senate floor. And so what a person would need to do is to call
mm-hmm.
their Senator Nielsen.
So it's Senator Nielsen.
And that's mm-hmm. Nielsen. And that phone number is 916-651-4004. And I'm going to repeat that.
And that's for Senate Bill 1139 or SB 1139.
Yes. I'm going to repeat that phone number of Senator Nielsen. 916-651-4004.
And is there a website or a Facebook page where someone could look again at these bills that you've and this information that you've put together, Norma?
Yes. If they go to Ledge Info, and that's www.leginfo.gov.
.gov. Uh-huh.
You can track a bill. And what you do is you type in the number.
Uh-huh.
and the author's name, or sometimes you can just put in the number and it will come up.
Uh-huh.
And then you can see who, how your senator or your assembly person has voted.
Voted on it. Yeah.
You can see where it is in the legislative process, and the explanation of
Great.
what the bill will do.
And let's talk a little bit more about that website access to some of these bills after we take a little break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Let's listen to some music.
Okay.
You are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. I want to remind the listeners that towards the end of the show, we'll be speaking with Dr. Mark Lundberg, the Chief Medical Officer for the Butte County Public Health Department. with a health update for us. So stay tuned for that. Right now, we are speaking with today's guest, Norma Wilcox. Hello, Norma.
Hi, Ken.
Norma, again, is the president of a grassroots organization here in our area called Butte County Healthcare Coalition, which we're going to hear a little bit more about in a minute. And she co-chairs a legislative committee for Healthcare for All California, another organization. Thanks for being here, Norma, and giving us this information about legislative issues, legislation that's currently being either implemented or discussed in California.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Before we went to break, we were trying to get people some information about how they can find out or read more about these this healthcare related legislation. And I think what correct me if I'm wrong, but what you and I kind of decided was, and I feel feel this way, the Butte County Healthcare Coalition is an organization here in our area that's been present for many years by healthcare-related activists in this community. And that is a wonderful organization to sit down, to be able to be present with other people who are knowledgeable about this legislation and about single-payer healthcare and other healthcare-related issues. So I'm just saying the Butte County Healthcare Coalition is a local grassroots organization that would be a great group for someone to work with if they were so inclined. How could someone connect with Butte County Healthcare Coalition?
The best way is to call 530-896-1609. And again, I'll repeat that. That's 530-896-1609. And that's my phone number, so it's probably the easiest way. And right now, we really need somebody who has some great skills in websites.
Oh.
A webmaster. Because I would really like to get this legislative information on our website.
Oh, that'd be great.
And we really need somebody interested in healthcare and who would be willing to join us. Also, if anybody else is interested in legislation, healthcare or otherwise, they can contact me, because I'm going to be working with the Chico Patient Justice Center and a number of other organizations to help them organize and create a legislative committee in their organization.
Great.
So that I will be more informed about the legislative process.
Excellent. And again, the contact phone number is your phone number.
Yes.
If someone is interested in Butte County Healthcare Coalition, 896-1609.
Correct.
Talk to, again, the president of the organization and co-chairing the legislative committee for an organization called Healthcare for All California. Great. Thank you very much. All right. Tell us some more. Give us some more information about upcoming or discussed legislation being discussed in California currently.
Okay. Well, next piece of legislation, the number is SB 1076. That's SB 1076, and the title is General Acute Care Hospitals Observation Services. The author is Senator Ed Hernandez, and he's from North Carolina. So again, that's General Acute Care Hospitals Observation Services. And what this is all about is that it used to be, before the Affordable Care Act was passed and implemented, if a patient came into the hospital, to the emergency room, and they had some kind of an injury, and the physicians weren't quite sure if they should admit that person or could they send the person home. So they would decide to keep that patient for a little bit longer, you know, maybe a few hours under observation status. They weren't admitted, but they'd be moved from the emergency room into a regular hospital room. their observation status. And then if they found that that person did need to be admitted, they would be admitted or they would be sent home. Well, what has happened with the Affordable Care Act is that hospitals are penalized if they get a lot of readmissions.
Which means a patient they discharge that needs to come back in because their illness was still a problem within a finite amount of time, like, say, a month or so. Isn't it a 30-day readmission or something like that?
I'm not sure what that time period is. You might know that.
That's what it used to be anyway, somewhere around there. So then the hospital would be paid for the first admission but not the second admission kind of thing. They would lose money. What you're saying is how they would get around that is, we won't really admit them. We'll put them on observation for a day or two and then either decide to admit them or send them home. And we won't, if we do observation only, then we don't have that admission thing we have to worry about if they're admitted later on in the month for an illness, that same illness.
Oh, very clever thinking.
Interesting. Okay, so go ahead. How has that been working out for patients, the current status, current way, this observation thing?
Well, if you're a patient and you go into the hospital and you're in a bed and you're in a hospital room, you think you've been admitted to the hospital.
You think that, yeah.
You think that. But what they find is, particularly with seniors, this really targets seniors. Because with Medicare, you have to be hospitalized for 3 consecutive days to be for Medicare to pay you to go into a skilled nursing facility. So if you're in observation for 2 days and then you're admitted for 1 day, then Medicare is not going to pay for that skilled nursing facility.
When you're discharged.
When you're discharged, because you have only been admitted 1 day.
Hmm.
And, of course, the patient doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So what this bill does is it requires the hospital to give a patient a written notice that they're in observation, and also when they become admitted, they have to have a written notice that they are now they're admitted to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And another part of this bill is what I have just learned is that some big hospitals have units now that are just observation units because they don't have to have the same nurse-patient ratio as other units. And so what this bill requires is that the staffing has to be the same as in an emergency room staffing ratio.
Hmm. Emergency room staffing or admission?
I think it says emergency emergency room because they're in observation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it would be like you're observing a patient in the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, when these big hospitals are having observational units and that they have less staffing, so when a person is in observation, they're actually getting less observed because of the staffing. So the actual quality of care is less.
Mm-hmm.
So what this would... here it says it requires a general acute care hospital that provides observation services to comply with the same staffing standards as supplemental emergency services.
Hmm.
And I don't know if supplemental emergency services is the exact same thing as staffing in an emergency room. Do you
not
have
sure.
any comment about that?
No, I'm not sure that? About that. Yeah.
Okay.
There may be some differences. But the point would be that the hospitals will need to be sure that their observation areas are adequately staffed, appropriately staffed.
Yes.
Whereas currently they may be understaffed.
Right.
That would make sense.
Now, Enloe, does not have an observation unit.
Yeah.
It does not. And so when those patients are on the
ward.
Floor,
yeah.
then they get the same nurse-patient ratio.
Yeah.
So it's just some of these bigger hospitals that are having these observational units.
Oh, I see. I just wanted to, for anybody listening, relative to the Medicare paying for skilled nursing facility, I just want us all to be on the same page that Medicare will, after someone is in the, like Norma says, has been in the acute hospital, admitted for 3 days, and then are discharged to a skilled nursing facility, in other words, a convalescent hospital, Medicare will, if it's been 3 days in the acute hospital, Medicare will pay for a finite amount of time in the skilled nursing facility. To my knowledge, that's 2 weeks in the skilled nursing facility. Then the payment becomes either out of pocket for the patient, or the patient hopefully would be eligible for something like Medi-Cal if they needed to stay longer. Just to let you know, Medicare doesn't pay for ongoing skilled nursing facility. But they still do pay for some of it, like 2 weeks, and fortunately, many times patients don't need more than 2 weeks time in a skilled nurse facility, then they go home or apply for other payment methods such as Medi-Cal. Okay, so that is SB...
Oh, yes. Let's go back here.
1076. SB 1076.
Yes, and where we are in the legislative process is that it will next go to the assembly, and mm-hmm. so people will need to call their assemblyman, James Gallagher, and I can give that phone number again here. I think I have it. Yes. So that phone number for Assemblyman Gallagher is 916-319-2003. And I'm going to repeat that, 916-319-2003.
Very good. Okay. We have... I think we're drawing to the end of our legislative talk here. One thing that we should all remember is primaries are coming up here in California. Registering to vote is important.
It's expired.
Ended on the 15th.
Oh, dang it.
No, 23rd. 23rd, Monday. Monday. It's the last day to register.
So now is the time, if you're an American citizen and ready to vote, and I hope, remember to register to vote. Now it's important. You have to be registered by Monday the 23rd. Can you register online? No?
But
where,
there,
do you go to,
but
where do you as a person go to register?
Well, if you're going to the farmer's market tonight, there is a table where California nurses are helping people register. People are many times at the library, at the farmer's market on Saturday. There's somebody you can go to get them at the post office. And some people will be doing canvassing, going door to door, and they will have registration forms. So there's many ways.
It's time to move on that. And I'm Norman, I've been mentioning something such as healthcare for all of us, which would be end up called single-payer healthcare, which would end up being less expensive than our current system, and yet all of us be covered, and the private for-profit health insurance industry would be taken out of the mix. And just to let you know, there is someone running for the Democratic nomination, Bernie Sanders, who supports that. Just saying. All right. You know what? Thank you, Norma, for being here and updating us on these legislative subjects, healthcare related. Great work you're doing and putting this together. Mark Lundberg, Dr. Mark Lundberg, is the medical director, or actually the chief health officer for...
Hey, Dr. Lundberg.
Butte County Health Department, and he helps me with the show, giving us a health update once a month. And Dr. Lundberg, are you on the air?
Dr. Logan, it's a pleasure to be on your great show. That was a very interesting show you just had. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Very good. Thank you. And it's great to have you talking with us again today. I always look forward to hearing from you.
You know, I was listening to some wisdom the other day, and it said that old doctors never die. They just lose their patients. And I was thinking, you know, that is not true about you. I think as you get older, your patients are just growing more and more and more.
Right. Thank you, sir.
You know, Dr. Logan, one of the things we do in our department, we have a division called the vital statistics. And this is a very important area where we register births and deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are very important documents that they're done properly and making sure that the data is corrected, data is collected correctly and that they are honest documents, because a lot of wealth is transferred at death, and births are very important. And I learned something today that I think your listeners would find fascinating. All of last year, we normally have about 2,500 births a year. Well, all of last year, there were 12 births that were done at home.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these are planned births, but they're home births. This year, so far this year, you know, we're not even halfway through the year, there's been 25 home births.
Hmm.
I think that's a very interesting, I think that's a real true trend, and I wonder what it what it represents about the consumers out there and what they're interested in and what they're desiring is to, I know there are midwives that will arrange to do a home birth, and must be a very different kind of experience. I don't know much about that, but I bet that's a very great experience.
And again, there's been 25 home births this far in 2016, and last year, 2015, there were how many?
12
total
a year.
Wow! So we're all already doubled.
Yeah,
and the year's half
already.
Over.
And it's
only.
Just interesting, isn't it? We live in maybe you could say there's some. It's ironic in a way. We have a more and more modern medical community, and the hospitals are more and more high tech, but consumers, there's a group of consumers that do desire to have methods of delivery that are really, you might say, old fashioned some way.
Yeah,
especially a very good experience. And I know it's I think that the midwives do a very nice job of preparing for home birth and having a home birth.
It'd be great to have a nurse midwife that you trusted and who's followed you along, and then to allow you to have that ability to have your baby at home. I just think that would be beautiful.
Yeah. So I'll have to watch that, see if that trend continues. But it seems like definitely something that's going on out there when we're already double all of last year,
right,
far into the year. So we'll have to watch that and see what happens.
Very good. Well, that's thank you very much, Dr. Lundberg, for that update, that interesting tidbit of information. We'll have to watch that, like you say.
Yeah, so very good.
Let me ask you, are you going to be joining us next month again with a health update?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'd love being on your show. This is a great opportunity. Your listeners are great listeners, and I like hearing what they're hearing, and trying to bring some information to them.
I'm looking forward to hearing from you again next month. Thanks, Dr. Lundberg.
You bet. So you have a helpful day, and be happy and satisfied.
Thank you very much. Take care now. And thank you, Norma Wilcox, president of Butte County Healthcare Coalition, co-chair of the Legislative Committee for Healthcare for All California. Thank you so much for these legislative updates for us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I hope we'll hear from you in the future again. And thanks to Ray Lager, the engineer for this show. And remember that this is The Doctor's Inn. It's the third Thursday of every month from 6 to 7 in the evening. And The Doctor's Inn has been made possible by the generous contributions of you, the KZFR supporters, and by locally owned Mama Celeste Stone Baked Pizzeria, serving 30 signature thin crust Chicago-style stone-baked pizzas, calzones, hand-tossed salads, homemade meatballs, wings, and including a vegan option. Mama Celeste's is located in the Safeway Plaza on Nord, open every day at 4 p.m. and noon on Sunday. That's Mama Celeste's Stone-Baked Pizzeria, and their phone number is 345-1510. And also underwritten by A1 Brake and Alignment, specialists with over 20 years of experience in automotive care. A1 Brake and Alignment services all makes and models of cars, trucks, and off-road vehicles in all forms of automotive maintenance and repair, including air conditioning. A great time of year for that. A1 Brake and Alignment is located at 824 Nord Avenue and can be reached by at phone number 894-1149. Just to let you know that the opinions voiced on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. It was simply the opinions of Norma Wilcox and Ken Logan. Stay tuned for Beatle Nation. See you next month.
To be filled,
I don't need no doctor. I don't need no doctor.
I don't need no doctor, no. Or prescription to be filled.
I don't need no doctor.
I don't
need no doctor.
All in my baby's arms, I could take away these chills.